Good morning. So yesterday we continued to look at the method of the stages to cultivate in order to train our mind so as to attain freedom from suffering. Here we need to both recognize the way of thinking which leads to the compounding of problems and difficulties in our lives, as well as the ways of thinking that will lead to lasting happiness. The former group refer to all the afflictions, the arisal of minds such as anger, attachment, jealousy and pride. It's these that serve to compound our pain and suffering. And at the very root of all these afflictions is the ignorance of self-grasping. The consciousness which grasps at the self as existing in the way that it appears to us. But as it does not exist in this way, this consciousness is contrary to reality. It is an ignorance. Then, on the other hand, there are the minds that lead to happiness. So here, for when one has some experience in meditation, one starts by going for refuge in the three jewels, with sincerity recognizing their qualities and thereby recognizing that we need to strive to develop those qualities within ourselves, because that is what will provide us protection from suffering. Thereafter, we immediately can turn our mind to the situation of others, because we would have already long reflected on suffering and its causes and given rise to wish for liberation, and recognizing that all beings are just like us in wanting freedom from suffering. No one is different. We all want to be freed of suffering, but we suffer for the same reasons. We have the same root cause, the ignorance of self-grasping, which leads to the rise of afflictions and the accumulation of karma. So we generate then love for others. May they be free. May they abide in lasting happiness. We generate compassion. May they be freed of suffering. And we develop this ever further, whereby we take responsibility for the welfare of others. We see it as no longer acceptable merely to have an aspiration, but that aspiration has to be fulfilled. So here we take responsibility for the welfare of others, and we generate the altruistic attitude of universal responsibility. But then to fulfill that responsibility, we lack the skills right now, so we have to become a Buddha. We have to strive to become a Buddha, and so that we can guide beings perfectly in accordance with their own individual karmic backgrounds, their own individual personalities. And thereby we generate bodhicitta, the determination to become a Buddha, so as to guide all beings to attain their own state, freed of suffering. Having generated bodhicitta, we then meditate on the six perfections: ethical restraint, the determination not to harm others through our acts, our speech, or even our way of thinking; generosity expressed to suffering beings or offerings to the three jewels, and so forth; patience, which is cultivating the mind of patience, the mind that stays undisturbed in the face of adversity; fourthly, joyous perseverance, the mind that takes delight in virtue, serving to inspire us to strive to cultivate ever more virtue; and then fifthly, the mind of single point of concentration; and finally, cultivating the wisdom realizing emptiness. So these virtuous minds are what we need to continuously receive teachings on and reflect and meditate on their meaning, so as to become ever more habituated to virtuous ways of thinking, and thereby break our habituation to non-virtuous ways of thinking. To do so takes training repeatedly over a sustained period. In particular, yesterday, we looked at how this life, this precious human life, is so brief. Looking at across the expanse of time, we recognize that this life is just a mere moment, like a flash of lightning. Moreover, this life is momentarily changing. The end of this life is drawing ever closer. We reflect in this way to recognize that it will not be long before everyone, everything, and I will all be gone. Gaining certainty in this, recognizing the momentary change of this life, adds a sense of urgency that from now I must take care of my mind and ensure that I no longer spend this life like I have each previous life, with a mind that's dominated by pursuing the delights and pleasures of this mere life, but recognize that these never satisfy me and they pass and fade every time. And moreover, I must guard my mind from obsessing with the problems and difficulties of this life, not allowing them to overwhelm me, but rather I must use what remains of this life through lifting my gaze to attaining a greater goal, so that of liberation and enlightenment, and thereby strive to accumulate causes to bring about that goal. Further, yesterday we also looked at how when death comes, everything that we've gathered in this life that hasn't already faded away and been lost will be lost at the time of death. Our wealth, our possessions, our friends and loved ones, none of them can accompany us. They will all be left behind. Everything we strove to achieve in this life will be left behind. All that we'll take with us is the karmic imprints that we accumulated whilst obsessing to attain worldly pleasures and having a mind overwhelmed by suffering and trying to overcome worldly problems. Those imprints, and those imprints alone, are what will accompany us. Recognizing this, we'll come to see how our ways of thinking, our attitudes, have deceived us and served to ensure that we have wasted the possibility of life after life. Now we develop a determination to no longer deceive ourselves, but to turn away from these misunderstandings, these wrong views, and rather strive to cultivate minds in accordance with reality so that we can live a life of ever greater freedom. And whilst doing so, taking care of those around us, taking responsibility for those around us, and thereby interacting with them in a gentle way, motivated by love, compassion, and wisdom. Turning to the 14th verse, although you previously enjoyed the pleasures of a universal monarch, you have never once gained experience of the profound Dharma. If you do not practice forthwith, how will you ever achieve its very essence, Jampaldrak? Looking at the first line, although you have previously enjoyed the pleasures of a universal monarch, what has been referenced here is that since beginningless time, where we've continuously taken rebirth without any control, but remaining bound in the suffering realms of samsara. We've been born in all other lower realms as a hell being, as a spirit, as an animal. And we've been born as a human many times, and even as a god. And in these rebirths, we've experienced every kind of pleasure and pain imaginable. Because these rebirths, we have not taken just one or two, but innumerable numbers of births in each of these realms, including rebirths where we could liken our pleasures to that of a universal monarch. And here we can understand this term to refer to someone with immeasurable wealth and power, experiencing all the possible pleasures. We have taken rebirths like that, and not just once or twice, but innumerable times.
난데니기 겨망고 레어데 이나 나도 다들 바로도 즉 다르비 고바세다 산기기 고바세데 마토바제 데누 나도 즉 고발로 두시네 라디도 와스 제자다 에 즉게 데네자 디 가르치네 라디오 바레라네 아 즉 최사 뭐 녀서 말랑 바인자 아 즉 냠네지 바 계위기 다 내가 즉 계위 최 냠네지게 림바데 숙침부지 마토바제
So whilst it is the case, we've had this remarkable variety of births, including those of immense suffering, to the other extreme, to those of abundant pleasure, what we have yet to achieve is liberation or enlightenment. So reading the first three lines, although you have previously enjoyed the pleasures of a universal monarch, you have never once gained experience of the profound Dharma. So here the problem is because we have not practiced sufficiently well yet, because this is not likely to be our first life we've encountered the Dharma, our first life where we've tried to transform our mind. But we've never done so in a way where we've developed to the level where the transformation is lasting. We haven't yet managed to abandon our afflictions together with their seeds. This is why we find ourselves in the position that we are, repeatedly taking rebirth without any control and in the danger of again falling to the lower realms. You have never once gained experience of the profound Dharma. Profound Dharma refers to, the term profound refers to emptiness. And the mind that realizes emptiness, the wisdom realizing emptiness, is what we have never gained experience of. This is why We are not sitting here having abandoned our afflictions together with their seeds. What is certain is we have trained well in ethics, in generosity, in patience, in joyous perseverance, and made prayers to have good rebirths. Hence we find ourselves here. So we know we have, and therefore definitely can, accumulate similar causes again, because we've experiencing their results. But the wisdom realizing emptiness, this we have not yet developed. Hence, we haven't abandoned the afflictions together with their seeds. Therefore, we must strive to cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness, because this is essential to gain freedom from uncontrolled rebirth and samsara. I'll just change one word in the fourth line. However, if you do not practice forthwith, how will you ever achieve its very heart, Jampaldrak? So here, Gawagyan Agyatso was saying to his heart disciple, you have to practice, and you have to practice far, far better than you ever have, and transform your mind to a level that you never have yet achieved. Because you certainly have practiced ethics, generosity, patience, joyous perseverance, and prayer in that you've achieved this result. But that alone is insufficient. Because if this is all you practice in this life, and whilst you must do so, you can only be confident about another good rebirth. You will continue to remain bound in samsara, thereby continuing to experience suffering experience upon suffering experience. And you'll always be in danger of falling to the lower realms. So whilst you are achieving benefits from your Dharma practice, you will not achieve its very heart of the Dharma practice, because you will not fulfill your heart wish, which is to gain freedom from suffering in its entirety, to abide with a mind that is only peaceful, only blissful. This is your heart wish, and the achievement of that is the heart of the Dharma, and it comes about through meditating on the wisdom realizing emptiness. So whilst it is imperative that you continue to cultivate a mind of ethics, generosity, patience, and joyous perseverance, these need to be conjoined with the wisdom realizing emptiness. It's only through the wisdom realizing emptiness, supported by the practices, that you'll be able to gain freedom from suffering, attain liberation, be a liberated being. And this is the very heart of the Dharma. And to achieve it, you must now strive to accomplish wisdom within your heart.
And
What are you being encouraged here to do here is to have as the main focus of our training in cultivating the wisdom realizing emptiness. However, this must be conjoined by the companion training such as ethics, generosity, patience, and choice, perseverance, because if we do make some progress in our training in wisdom, but our ethics have been poor and we fall to low realms in our next life, that training we'll not be able to develop. We'll be so overwhelmed by the immensity of suffering in the low realms that we will not be able to continue to spiritually develop. So therefore, we need a balanced approach. The focus needs to be on cultivating wisdom, but it needs to be conjoined with the other trainings such as ethics and so forth. And to achieve the supreme goal of Buddhahood, one needs a motivation of bodhicitta, and with such a motivation, engage in cultivating the wisdom realizing emptiness. So therefore, to attain enlightenment, both are needed, bodhicitta and the wisdom realizing emptiness.
And
the 15th verse, due to the strength of your level of familiarity with knowledge gained, do not continue to wander, gathering teachings, but rather put into practice whatever Dharma you know right now, as death is rapidly approaching, Champaldrak.
And 시간이 늘었어요.
Due to the strength of your level of familiarity with knowledge gained. Here then, we are being advised that you have Dharma knowledge at this point. Amongst you, it will be of varying levels, but you do have Dharma knowledge. And this knowledge is imperative. We need to have an understanding of what are the minds to cultivate and the minds to abandon, and why to do so, and how to do so. And the more knowledge one has, the greater the level of integration will follow. However, the second line, do not continue to wander gathering teachings, but rather put into practice whatever Dharma you know right now. Here we are being told, have a balanced approach. You need to gather knowledge. You need to receive teachings and continue to receive teachings. But don't leave it at this mere intellectual knowledge that you're gaining. Whilst receiving teachings, integrate that. Whilst hearing teachings, think about the meaning. And between hearing teachings, continue to think about the meaning. You need to have a balanced approach because death is rapidly approaching. And this is the case in the time of when this text was composed many hundreds of years ago for the student Jampal Drak, and it's the case for us too. We do not know how much time is left. And what it remains, it's imperative that you both integrate what you've already come to know, as well as continue to gather knowledge, but integrate that. Do not leave this life with mere intellectual knowledge. Even if you are highly learned, those imprints will not be the same as if you had integrated that knowledge and thereby transformed your mind. We've encouraged once again to take a balanced approach, and here it's a balance between gathering of intellectual knowledge, which is indispensable, and integrating that at the same time within oneself. Because if one just engages in the process of hearing or reflecting, gathering knowledge, but one does not at the same time integrate that within oneself through reflecting, thinking about the meaning of what you're hearing again and again, one's habitual ways of thinking will not change. As much as one is solely learned, one's mind will not change unless one also integrates that knowledge. And for those of you who are sitting here and think, I'm kind of new, I don't know very much, don't be deceived by this. Over these days, you have all learned something. Whatever you've learned and you take away from here, reflect on that again and again. When you have the opportunity, gather more knowledge, attend more teachings, and keep adding to your library of knowledge and deepen your reflections in this way. But engage in the two together, hearing and reflecting concurrently. Engage in them together. In this way, you'll start to experience your mind changing in this life and thereby experience greater happiness in this life and through the karmic causes you are creating, can have confidence in good rebirths in your next life and stronger imprints to the Dharma, which means you'll be more likely to be born where there is the Dharma, you'll seek it out, you'll meet qualified teachers, and with delight, you'll continue to engage in your spiritual transformation. Turning to the final verse, the 16th verse. The Buddhas and also the great bodhisattvas meditated single-mindedly on the profound Dharma and thereby severing karma, afflicted minds and their stains at the root, attaining the state of the three kayas. The Buddhas, the way they trained and the way the great bodhisattvas are training is that they meditate single-mindedly or single-pointedly on the profound Dharma. So as we are talking here about those who became Buddhas and those who are becoming Buddhas, we would understand this then to be solely in the context of the Mahayana, which means the profound Dharma would be that of the Mahayana. So with a motivation of the wisdom realizing emptiness and conjoined with bodhicitta, they would have meditated on bodhicitta, on the wisdom realizing emptiness, and on the other practices such as generosity, ethics, and so forth. When their meditations on generosity, ethics, and so forth would have been conjoined with bodhicitta and the wisdom realizing emptiness. And in this way, they severed karma, the afflictions, and their stains at the root. And in this way, they attained the state of the three kayas, or the three bodies, which means enlightenment was achieved. Again, the first line, the Buddhas and also the great bodhisattvas. So this is emphasizing that this is the path that leads to the successful attainment. This is how the bodhisattvas, the Buddhas trained, those who have attained the final goal. And knowing that, those who are striving now to achieve the final goal, the great bodhisattvas, they are training in this way. Way one attains the state of Buddhahood is as has been presented in this teaching. It's not something that is only available to the powerful who can influence others to give it to them. It's not only available to the wealthy who can go out and buy it. It's not something that others can, that Buddhas can bestow on us. These are the qualities we ourselves need to develop. And this is shown in the word for Buddha. The word Buddha is Sanskrit. The Tibetan word is Sangye. Sangye has two syllables. The first is Sang and the second Ge. Sang means completely purified, having completely abandoned the afflictions together with their seeds and stains. Ge means to have completely developed all good qualities such as wisdom, love, and compassion have all been completely or perfectly developed, that's the meaning of ge, and all faults have been completely or perfectly abandoned, that's the meaning of sang. So the word for Buddha itself shows that the practitioner themselves needs to transform their own mind. When you have filthy clothes at home, but these are clothes you want to use again, you will have to wash them. And if they are particularly filthy, you'll have to wash them several times. And each time you take them out of the washing machine, you'll see, oh, there's a little less dirt than last time. But you put them back in and keep repeating the cycle until eventually they are clean and as good as new. So this is the process of what we're trying to do with our mind. Sorry. We are trying to cleanse our mind because our mind is currently obscured by the afflictions. So the afflictions together with the seeds and imprints obscure the purity of our mind. And to remove these afflictions is the goal of all Buddhists. And to do so doesn't come through a mere wishing, no matter how sincere that is, but it comes through one's own endeavors of meditation based on knowledge. And it is a process that takes quite some time. Just like if clothes are particularly filthy, it takes some effort to clean them. Slowly, through repeated effort, these layers of the afflictions will start to weaken and be washed away. This is what we do through cultivating wholesome minds and avoiding unwholesome minds. This is our process of training. And as we apply ourselves to this gathering of knowledge, meditating on that repeatedly over a sustained period, we will start to be aware of the lessening of our unwholesome habitual tendencies and the strengthening of our wholesome habitual tendencies. So we'll see these two words, these two syllables that make up the word for Buddha, sang and ge, the purification. In other words, we'll experience it as the weakening of the habituation to the afflictions, and the ge, the development of all good qualities. We'll see our mind being more habituated to wholesome ways of thinking. We'll start to experience this change in us. We'll recognize the afflictions ripening less often, being less strong when they do, and more easily more quickly fading away. Likewise, so that's the sang side, and on the ge side, we'll notice that wholesome, virtuous minds are what mainly dominate us. We go about our day dominated by love, compassion, wisdom, and so forth. In this way, we start to experience the process of inner transformation. This is what we need to do. This is the route to Buddhahood. Gathering knowledge, reflecting on it, and in this way, purifying the afflictions and developing all good qualities. And when the point comes, when Buddhahood is attained, all the faults are completely purified, which means our inner qualities shine through perfectly. This is when Buddhahood is achieved.
Tuye di susurangangi samlo ki tuye di susurangangi tuin mada shendagi susu ngazu samlo di mewa tsamma sutiya yomares. Jisanda susurangangi tsamma suyo di tsamma suyadangi susurangangi gyula ngiyue sam jambi samlo yobadan ziyue samlo yobadi pa gomchi nyuba cherchertaya. Dine ngana zuki chiki shenle nyuba chiki mewa samlo di yorubadangazu di yobadi gomchi nyuba cherchertaya. Shenle ro chikin sempe samlo de yor nga zule, di samlo di ya gomchi nipa cher taya. Jizanda nga zuki shenle ya tuxine, nyewa jikime pa, kong langme pa, jik sem chukme sempe samlo de yor e, di yang nga zuli ya gomchi nipa cher taya. Nga zuki la, zawi ki nga zuki chasang nyamlin jiki, zawi ki shizade nga zuli yoye bade. Jizanda nga zuki di yane ya do gomchi nipa cher taya ma tuwa la bade wada. じゃあ、日本まで屋根やどち、コントで屋根やどら、でしゃでね屋根やどらでこと庭チェチェだ。じゃあ、あの時、地域でにげ、ジャムジリで屋根やどさんまたはいけんじこ、こと寸教もじらでろわだ。だから、あの時、ジャムジリで屋根やどさんだ。あの時、つじんじげ屋根やどべさん屋根やどさんと、こやじげからまさん、チェレのまさやらちんじは、庭チェジるで、でし、でにげ、こと庭チェ屋根やさんだで、
对象控制的过三大的把下一个了吧，其实这都控制了过不了个嘛，其实过没叫了就过了吧，现在你也这样子都现在三大的，俺就给三级国防退下的都先通过过来去了，你也这样子都三大的，俺那开心就当俺就俺就都是那节约钱哇，三大的，但你俺就给女伯了嘛，说呢，这个也钱等过了吧，其实你也这样子给伢们这都三大的，俺是我是阿姑姑嘛的呢，三级国防退别个退下了呀，他年龄也足够了，你也足够把的俺这个三老拿了呀，所以说给你这个节约钱哇，咱讲吧，咱这边三老咱金巴出人随便挣的，等你三老的把伢呢呀，他都过女伯吃些足够了吧，女伯吃些足够，三级国防退下了，他年龄也足够了，可是女伯把的给把女伯穷说等过了吧，当然都我说马上我嘛了吧都。
개외 자와 숙철 조바다 녀모바 마춘 조바디 숙 조부지나 통투고라 대고 주면은 삼로 나나자 만주기디 제 통투고 말바 지나다 나도 두고신 갈리갈리 냠뇽을 통해 소수의 개와도 숙철 주고 바 소수의 냠뇽도 다 하고 그래 냠뇽도 하고 어디 소수의 녀모도 춘 주고 바 소수의 냠뇽도 다 하고 그러지 고 두고신 냠뇽사 다 하고 둬야지 이거로 봐
Our spiritual development and our attainment of Buddhahood, this is something we have to do for ourselves. No one else can do the work for us. It is our responsibility. The development of our own mind is our own responsibility. But we can have confidence that we can do this. All of us. It's not beyond anyone here. You've met the unmistaken teachings of the Buddha, and you had the imprints to do so, and you have imprints of virtuous qualities on your mind already. When you look at your mind, when you look at how you've lived your life, you can see you're ethical people. You have often made decisions that are ethical. Likewise, with generosity, that you are all generous people. So too, love and compassion. These imprints exist on your continuum. You've yearned for people, for others, and yourself to be freed of suffering, to abide in lasting happiness. Everyone here has those imprints. What you need to do is just strengthen them. That's all. And it is done through hearing teachings and meditating on them. And in this way, these good qualities that everyone here has will grow and strengthen. We're also very aware that we have habituation to afflictive minds. We get angry. We desire things. Whilst we recognize this habituation, in the same way that we can develop good qualities, we can weaken unwholesome ways of thinking. As we progress in developing good qualities, we'll more easily recognize even the subtler levels of the afflictions as disturbing us, and thereby we'll be wanting to be free of them. And to the extent we spiritually develop, we'll recognize what triggers us, and we'll be more skillful in dealing with that. We'll become ever more skillful in dealing with the afflictions when they arise, and be able to dispel them through generating our wholesome minds. So here, we develop both of these sides, the one that leads to Sangha and the one that leads to Gye. We develop both of these together. As we develop the wholesome minds, the gear side, the good qualities, the unwholesome minds proportionately weaken. And if we're focusing on abandoning the afflictions and weakening unwholesome minds, to that extent, the wholesome minds will strengthen. This is a scale. As we develop further good qualities, our faults naturally weaken. And as we become more skilled in turning away from faults, we do so because we turn towards wholesome minds, and they strengthen. So this is something all of us can do. It is not beyond anyone here. This we can be certain of. And whilst the transformation of our mind, the transformation of our very being, is not something that we can see with our eyes, we can feel it within our hearts. As you train, you will become aware of this. Others, they will look at you, they'll see the same body that they've been seeing for a while, but they will too experience you differently. So take confidence that this can be done.
Don't some dear, the Mulinano Shumares, don't some city, that's a million, the Mulin Nashin, Jacimbo, delay, Dabu Mongo, such delay, Chumares. Jesanda, the niggers of Jachim Shoe, Sagor, Jesanda, Jemsu Doa, the denying under the Jamnijeta, Sutum, the Shabba, the new combat, Dame of the letter, Sonam, the nigger part of Sagor, but Sanji, Sungor, but Jesanda, the name of Sonam Jachim Sagor.
The Buddha himself said that the qualities of the three jewels, if they were to take form, they could not, the world itself could not contain them. And this, what this means is that the qualities of the great beings or the merit on the continuum of the great beings is so vast, if it were to take form, it could not fit in our world. So from this we can understand that to the extent we do develop these virtuous minds of ethics, love and compassion, wisdom realizing emptiness and so forth, vast stores of merit will be accumulated on our own
continuums. And the Missaji, even the Jabjinaria, Timboya, the Aguya, and the main big Jabshana in the Tunja Yawaya, the Chagres. Just not the name Chumbu Jamzin Yamna Yahojona, and the Missana, like you were Semi Shiti and the Tukure, just not Jamze, Jamze, Yamna Jechimushurias, and the Jaram Chigida, Gidi Nada, Jechimushuji, and the Yamlin, Jamzin Yamna Nangu, Jehores, and Gidina Kalukna, the Nangurwa.
His Holiness often points out that what we see in this world that causes so much pain has been almost always caused by humans. If we look at the destruction of our environment, this has been caused by human behavior. If we look at the results of warfare or of domestic violence or other forms of conflict, this all comes from human behavior. We can recognize how much harm human beings cause in our world. And the solution, though, to this doesn't rest somewhere else. It rests within human beings themselves. It's humans that cause the harm, and it's humans that can stop causing the harm. And how to do so is to cultivate love and compassion. His Holiness encourages in particular the cultivation of love and compassion, because to do so one does not need to be a Buddhist, one does not even need to be religious. Because everyone wants to experience love and compassion in their hearts. Everyone wants to be around people who are loving and compassionate. So therefore, His Holiness encourages inner transformation so that each individual themselves who does so can experience inner peace, and thereby contribute to outer peace on the global stage. His Holiness repeatedly gives advice like this.
And 산지 디기네 소수의 고민염내 지는 산지 고방 토바래 전주 선바 디기네 산지 고방 토위지도 고민염내 지고래 제자 디네 지난 먼저 고민염내 지고래 디네 투래세 내 도시네 송제나네 셰바 디네 아니 니네 잠베 잡아라 담보 오스데네 디네기 강한 주기 냠내 림바 두스 지고래 세디 강한 주기 도시네 잠베 잡아라 두 송바래 세지 도시네 다 Zohore, shungdi. Zinada dine ki ngosu jembe chakwa sungwari, yuini ngana zui nyamlen chika chasangdo sungkoro wada.
The text then concludes with Gyawa Sonam Gyatso saying to his heart disciple, Jampaljak, presented here, in not just this verse, but the entire text, is how all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas have trained. So you should do so too. They are who inspire you. They are your role models. Train just like them. Follow their example, and you will attain the same result. In the final line, take this advice to heart, Jampaljak, my dear student. Whilst it was said directly to him, we know that a great author like the second Dalai Lama would have had all sentient beings in his heart when he gave this advice. The Buddha Dharma that we have encountered has come from, in a sense, from the mouth of Buddha Shakyamuni himself and kept alive in the minds and hearts of beings of advanced spiritual practitioners in an unbroken lineage to today. What I have passed on to you today is the teachings of the Buddha, no different from what he presented. In brief, what has been presented over these days is that the happiness we desire comes about in dependence on causes. The suffering we wish to be freed from also comes about in dependence on causes. And these causes abide on our mind. Non-virtue is the cause of suffering. And therefore, we need to abandon non-virtuous ways of thinking and thereby non-virtuous ways of acting. Virtue is the cause of happiness. Therefore, we need to cultivate virtuous ways of thinking, which will lead to virtuous ways of acting. So therefore, we need to focus on developing wholesome minds, such as ethical restraint, generosity, patience, choice, perseverance, concentration, the wisdom realizing emptiness, love, compassion, and bodhicitta. These are essential. These are essential. And to the extent we develop these virtuous minds, we will weaken and eventually eradicate the karmic imprints that have previously, negative karmic imprints that have previously been accumulated. And moreover, as we strengthen these virtuous minds, our non-virtuous minds will proportionately weaken, and we will accumulate ever less non-virtue. Very first stage for training the mind is to recognize how remarkable this precious human rebirth is that we have all achieved. This life that was so difficult to achieve and is so rare in the world has such great potential. It's really only in a rebirth such as this that we can radically transform our minds. Those beings who are suffering in the lower realms cannot do so. The intensity of the suffering is too great. And those who are long life gods, for them the pleasures are too great. And their life is too long, so therefore they do not have any desire to gain freedom from suffering. Whereas we do. And we can develop this further. So you, at the first stage of training, is to take this to heart. Not to let this opportunity go to waste. Not to leave this life with its potential unfulfilled. Do not waste this opportunity. Rather, use this opportunity well and thereby transform the trajectory of your future lives.
Dine maje baje cheti kya jang ki ane ni nyu de da longjue sa ya da dine kya jang go kho ba na di gi nga zo ma ba de chi de le ping ma de pe de ge wa sa de ping de sa jang zo da da na ning bo ro ji du shi ne je hu le sa de gan du shi ne ga la je ro sa du sna ba de.
And the companion advice is recognizing the great potential that this life brings, do not delay in fulfilling it. Do not assume you have time. Do not think that there are other things of more importance to be done now. Accomplishing the purpose of this life is of primary importance. This is what one needs to have as one's primary focus and everything else as secondary.
やはりね、弱切心はで、で、決まれ。ロワダ、ハゴゴレ。じゃあ、加算、君主ばな、じゃあ、参議部、南部参議部、道和で道和天主の立場、世話めばせやで、倫理する金庫はね、じゃあ、どうしてね。じゃあ、倫理やったら、まず、どうしてね。あの、ジャブスとやけ、ジャブユーせやで、根拠、寸、南部、参議部、根拠、寸、というぐらいせ。倫理やったら、どうしてね。あの、 이집이
Furthermore, I'm confident that it's clear to everyone that the method to gain freedom from suffering and a state of lasting happiness is through transforming your own mind. And I'm confident also that you've gained knowledge and experience through the meditations, how to do that. We've also looked at refuge, so you understand what is meant by the three jewels and how to go to refuge, which is through developing confident trust that it is through relying on the three jewels that we will develop the skills in ourselves to gain protection from suffering. In other words, through relying on the three jewels, we will transform our own minds and thereby gain protection from suffering. And that the way to do this is to cultivate a variety of virtuous minds, and all of these we've looked at sufficiently for you to engage in repeated meditation on. And in this way, you will be able to transform your own minds. Coming to the end, so I want to give you some advice for your daily meditation practice. The first step when you sit down recognize this remarkable opportunity you've attained and generate the determination not to let it go to waste, but from right now, I will use it well. And I will use it well to gain freedom from suffering. I do not want to suffer. That's the first step. The second then is, and it's through relying on the three jewels that I can be guided in how to transform my mind to attain freedom from suffering. It is through relying on the Buddha, my spiritual teachers, and their teachings that I can develop them in the way I'm trained in my mind and thereby gain freedom from suffering. So second step. The third, all others are just like me. Everyone in my home, my place of work that I will encounter in society, and in fact every being, human and non-human, just like me, in wanting to be free from suffering. May we all be freed from suffering. It's a mind of compassion. May we all abide in happiness, lasting, stable happiness, the mind of love. And thereafter, I will help others wherever I can, in accordance with my capacity, ensuring that I help bring happiness into their lives and do not add to their suffering. But to be able to do so skillfully, I have to become more developed. In fact, I have to become a perfected being, a Buddha. I will have the attainment of Buddhahood as my focus. So that's the third step, the cultivation of bodhicitta. The fourth then is the meditations of a bodhisattva. First, that of ethics. I will bring no harm. I will not harm others with my behavior or my speech, and I will not harm them through restraining my mind from their afflictions. I'll ensure my mind is always ethical and not under the influence of the afflictions. Secondly, that of generosity. I will, wherever I can and however I can, I will help others. I will give of myself to others in accordance with my capacity. And thirdly, the mind of patience, the determination to abide with love and compassion and wisdom in one's heart, and thereby never respond with anger, and rather have one's mind staying undisturbed in the face of adversity. And fourthly, that of joyous perseverance, taking delight in one's meditation, taking delight in one's positive interactions with others, and generating the determination to continue to do so. Fifthly, that of concentration. So this can be done as a separate step, but it's best to do throughout the meditation. For example, when previously generating love or compassion, when the thought arises within one, may all beings, myself and all beings, abide in lasting happiness. When you feel love arise within you, abide with that. Develop your concentration in this way. And then, sixthly, the sixth practice of bodhisattvas, cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness, as presented in more detail previously. Firstly, seeing how you as a meditator, how yourself appears, and then investigating, does it exist in the way that it appears or not, as being independent of my body and mind? Recognizing that is empty of existing the way that it appears, but if that doesn't mean I do not exist, but rather merely labeled by mind onto the body and mind. And then the final step, so that would be the meditation, you then dedicate, and then the final point to make is, whilst it's imperative to do a daily meditation, it can be very short, like in the few minutes it took me to read these points, it can take you those few minutes to reflect on them. Can be quick, or you can spend more time. But what's crucial in addition to having daily meditation is at points throughout the day, just remind yourself of key points so that it stays fresh. Whether it's that nothing exists in the way that it appears to my mind, or whether it's that may all beings be happy, or I won't harm others in my activities. Any of these points, remind yourself of them throughout the day so that they stay fresh in your mind, and thereby you will act under their influence.
All right. ジェスウィランジャーンにマンジュギンアーズディネギチェンアンチコハプレンジとシェアペアウチョンソーサンビーモンバイネアジャーティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティティ 的出来嘛，当话这，俺这个天天给劝你们这个当话的别嘛，再要不结束一场的，俺都退休休学医，俺爹了呀，你们都俺们这边来给明晚的几点了呀，参过这些的，天天给就是忙不当别几点话的别嘛，再要不的，俺结束一场的，俺退休学医。
Now, as we come to our conclusion, I encourage all of you to look at how you spent these last few days and rejoice, firstly, in the merit that you yourselves have accumulated that led you to want to do this, and that merit was of sufficient strength that you are able to overcome any obstacles and come here and proceed as well as you have for these several days together. Because it took a stream of good causes that have been accumulated for you to be here. And now that you've been here, you've used your time well and accumulated vast stores of merit. So rejoice in what you each have done individually and what your fellow meditators have done in over this long weekend. So many other people chose to do other fun and exciting things. But you've come here with a decision to transform your mind, to become the person that you long to be, to fulfill your potential. And here, you all have accumulated causes that will lead you to living a meaningful life. And now, I want to say, but join me in saying this, thanks to everyone who made this retreat possible. So this starts with your fellow retreatants. All of you coming here made it possible for me to be able to share my knowledge and experience with you. And there are particular individuals who helped sustain our Dharma Center and certainly made this retreat itself possible. And amongst them, I specifically want to thank Tsepel. And I know her and her qualities well. And I know she would have led an excellent retreat, particularly in her meditations and guidance. So a particular thank you to her. As well as all the others, like our director and SBC, and the other people whose names I don't know, who contribute to make everything here possible. So from my side, thank you to all of you.
अनि शीति यों वर्षों को सुविधा दे यों वर्षों शीति ने शिक्षा शेष दमा तो दूसरी ने समझान दिखा रहे।
Now we come to the final part, which is our dedication of all this merit. So again, rejoice in what you have done, and now dedicate that merit to the attainment for all beings, yourselves and each and every being without exception. May their minds abide in peace, solely in peace, and thereby may all throughout our world and all worlds, may beings abide in peace. Thank you. Thank you very much.